Third John, we should finish this up tonight, Lord willing. When you read your Bible, you come across most of the time Paul's writing to the churches, and then John's writing to the elder here, and it's about a church, about an elder. He said, "But well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth," and we talked about that last night and talked about our last Wednesday night. And then when you read the book of Revelation, there's seven churches, and they're in Asia Minor, and so then they're historical, and they're spiritual, and then doctrinally they're tribulation passages there, and it's all connected. All three interpretations there is connected: historical, doctrinal, and spiritual. But here John's writing, and John, you know, he writes St. John, and he writes that, and he writes 1 John, 3rd John, 2nd John, 3rd John. And John was well-beloved, and he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. He loved all of them, but the one he was closest to Jesus Christ. And John was on the Isle of Patmos, you know, he got the revelation. And thank God the book of Revelation is there in the Bible. But here he writes to this elder. And he's calling himself an elder to Gaius. He said, "Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, and even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children have walked in truth. Beloved," and that's somebody Paul had led to the Lord, or John. "Beloved, thou doest faithful whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, and which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." Now, the church is mentioned here. And there's trouble. There's some guys causing trouble in the church. And I've been around the church long enough. I've seen a lot of trouble in churches. I've seen trouble in different churches. I've seen churches destroyed because of some trouble. And I've seen church in Frederica destroyed because of one man. And we've seen all kinds of stuff that's happened. We've seen around the country, I hear about this church, that church. People come in church wanting preeminence, like this guy, Diotrephes, or I can't even say his name right. Somebody say that name. I can't even say it. I'll get it here in a minute. But he says, verse 9, "I wrote on the church, but I can't get it. Diotrephes. I can't say it for some reason. Yeah, die. All right, that's a good name. He says, "who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not." And this guy was causing trouble in the church. Paul had some guys that caused trouble in the church. Jesus Christ had the Pharisees that caused him trouble, religious people. And I tell you what, some of the people that's going to hurt you the most is going to be those that are saved, those that are, in church with you, and people get hurt in church. And I've had, you know, I don't know how many of y'all have talked to somebody and said, "Well, I used to go to church, but so-and-so, I got hurt in church." Yep. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And that's sad. Amen. That's sad that happens. People talk about each other. They'll say stuff about each other. And you say, that shouldn't happen in church. That shouldn't happen. But this guy wanted the preeminence among them. I'm not even going to say his name again because I can't say it. Preeminence among them, and received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, plotting against us. That's old English saying, you know, plotting against us, plotting against with malicious words, and not content therewith. And here's John. I mean, John the beloved man. I mean, the one that sat had his head on Jesus' breast and heard the heartbeat of Jesus Christ, and this guy's running him down. And then Paul had some in 2 Timothy run him down. You're going to have conflicts, and you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. You're going to have people say stuff, and I've seen so many people, and I've seen a lot of people leave church because somebody else had a problem. Somebody else said something. And when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be something. Amen. When we get to the judgment seat, I don't want to run people out. There was a preacher friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine, and y'all know if I say this, you're going to know who it is. He used to get up and preach and say, "Yeah, I kick so-and-so out, and I can run this one out, and I run that one out." And I sat there and thought about it. I said, that's kind of stupid to be up and brag about how many people you run out of church. How many people have you run in? Amen. How many people have you got in church? Amen. How many people you've helped to get in? Just to run somebody, anybody can run anybody out. You can run them out. And I've heard preachers say this. Sometimes they look better, leaving the church than coming in. I can't hardly say that. I can't hardly say that because I always feel like there's hope for everybody. There's hope for the vilest, amen. And I always have that. Sometimes when somebody causes trouble, like we had a guy Seth here, and he caused some trouble. And every time I turn around, he was doing something. And there's a lot more peace when he's gone, amen. I can know that. And there's some other people that caused some trouble, and there's peace, more peace around the church house than with them gone. But I hate it. I hate it. Old Seth, when I told him he couldn't come back here, I remember going to McDonald's and standing there, and he's crying. He's crying. And every time I see him, he follows me around. He always follow me around and talking, and I don't want nobody to go out and say that Pastor Ryman was a dictating, cruel, mean, hateful man, pastor. I wouldn't know nobody to say that. Like I said, I've told this church, if you know if somebody thinks I've done them wrong, you let me know. I want to get it right. Yeah. And every Christian ought to feel that way. You ought to feel like if you've done somebody wrong, if they feel like you've done them wrong, you ought to want to get it right.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because if you don't get it right here, you're going to get it right there.
Right.
It'd be better to get it right here before you get there.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree? Paul and John said, when I come, he says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, plotting against us from malicious words, not content therewith. Neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, forbidding them that would, and cast them out of the church. And this guy caused people to leave. When I first came to church here, there were some people that did cause people to leave church. I couldn't figure out why people wouldn't come back. And I realized this, when I first came here, it was only a few people in here. You're sitting in the big old building. People come in, they were sitting in the back right there where Ryan's sitting or right where Eric was sitting. And they would come in the back and I'd say, why don't y'all come on up here? Come up here. Miss Nunn was here. And I said, why don't y'all come on up here? And they would look around like, oh, man, they didn't want the attention. And they would, not come back. But then I went out to the door one day, and one of the men that was here was running people out. And he was saying stuff to him, and I thought, what in the world, man? We're trying to build a church. We ain't trying to run people out. And this guy was saying all kinds of sarcastic stuff to people. And if he smelt smoke on them, he'd say, I'll tell you what, I don't believe a man can be saved in smoke. And I walked out and I heard that, and I said, my God, man, what are you doing? You don't run people out like that. You're trying to help? I try to help people. I want to help people. And, and these little kids and stuff, come in, they've got problems. Everybody's got problems. And if I hang around with you, if you think you ain't got nobody's problem, you pointing everybody else's problem. If I hang around with you long enough, I find out your problems. And you'd find out my problems.
Amen.
Then you'd say, who in the world do you think you are?
Amen.
Who do you think you are? You think your stuff don't stink or something? Amen. My God. It says, forbid them that would and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. And Paul, John's saying, this guy doing this stuff, he's wanting the preeminence. He wants to be. And I've seen people run people out of the church so they can get the church down, so they can end up getting control of the church so they could sell it and they pocket the money. I'll tell you this, when Buddy Cargill bought this, when I was going to Buddy Cargill's church over there, they met in the chicken coop. That's where our church was, in the chicken coop. And we met in that chicken coop, and Ken, you don't have to amen there. Chickens. Some of y'all don't know, but he did. Anyway, we met in the chicken coop, and there was a camp meeting Buddy put on down there. It was a Southern Baptist, Southern Maryland camp meeting, and Jack Woods came, and Jack Woods took up an offering for to be able to buy this building down on. What was the name? Indian Head Highway. And it was Indian Head Highway. It was an old antique building. And Brother Jack Woods got up and said, why don't we just try to take up money to buy this building? So he took up $14,000 that time for the down payment. And he got up there, and some people that had money, they gave $1,000. And I didn't have, he said, who would give $500? He did it like an auction. He said, who would give $500? And I, you notice I don't do that. If you want to give, fine. If you don't, that's up to you. And then somebody said 500, and I thought, I ain't got 500, but I had $300 in my pocket. And he goes, I don't care what you got in your pocket, just give what you got. And I went, oh. So I thought, no, Lord, it's a blessing. I have a part in it. So I went and gave all I had and put it towards the building. They got $14,000. They put down the building, bought the building. And then Buddy, they were there for a while, and Bob Joseph was the assistant pastor, and then they had a parting of the way a little bit. And and I was up here at the time, pastoring this church. And then Jack Kraler came in there, and Jack Kraler came in, and he tried to be something that he wasn't, and he got up and just ran people out of the church, just like Rocky Shanks did down there in Frederica, just ran people out. He got up, sarcastic, say stuff to people and stuff. And you know what? If you're sarcastic to people, trying to run people out of the church, you know, God's going to deal with you. God will deal with you. Guarantee it. I've seen it happen. And so this guy, Jack, I walked in there one night. Mark McGay just started in evangelism. And right as he started advancing, he said, hey, Brother Allen, why don't you come on down, bring the youth choir down. We had the old bus. So we drove down and got there late. And I got in there about 7:40, something like that, the time we got there. I remember walking in the back door. It was an antique building, an antique shop, and we converted into it. I put the roof on it, needed a new roof. I went down, worked on the roof, got a new roof on it. And everybody worked on the inside, made a church out of it. We made a nice church. And so I remember walking in there that night, and we had a group, and we had about 30-some teenagers. And Mark was sitting on the front row, and I came up and sat next to him. And he leaned over, and this is not no lie, he leaned over to me, and he said, thank God you're here. I said, why? I leaned over, why? He said, you ain't going to believe what this guy did. He got up, and there were some people that came back. Tim Black's mom and dad was one of them, Brother Hugo Black. They came back to hear Brother Mark preach. And Jack Kraler got up. I haven't seen Jack Kraler since then. I often said, I don't know what I might do. I might smack him upside his head, the idiot. He destroyed the church. He destroyed it. And he got up in front of that church that night before I got there, and he got up and said this. He says, we're going to take up offering. He says, some of you bums that left here, you probably ain't giving no money where you're going, but you're going to put money in the plate here tonight because you're coming over here to revival because you can't get fed where you're going, so you're coming over here to get something. What an idiot. Amen. What an idiot. And he said that from the pulpit, and there's people sitting there, Tim Black's mom and dad and all them. And so Mark said, it just brought a bad spirit. I could feel it when I walked in there. I could feel a bad spirit. I don't want people to walk in our church and feel a bad spirit. Amen. They ought to feel the Holy Spirit when they walk in. Amen. Amen. If you got something against somebody, man, you just get the thing right and say, God, I'm just going to let, you know, be, you know, just let it go. I'll let it go. Or go to them and say, hey, if we can't work it out, we can, you know, agree to disagree. Yep, that's it. And Mark said, let the choir sing. The choir sang, and they drove that bad spirit out of there. Yeah. And the choir sang, and man, the choir must have sang 10 songs. And then Mark preached. And then after that, I tried to call Jack and try to encourage him not to do stupid things. I mean, I did enough stupid stuff. I mean, you know, I said stuff, did stuff. And you learn, you know, blessed is the man that learned from his mistake, but more blessed is the man learned from somebody else's mistakes and don't do them. So I try to call Jack and try to help him and try to encourage him. I try to do that with all kinds of pastors. I really do. If I think I can help him, I try to help him. And I don't get up there and say, look, brother, I noticed that, you know, the way you handle things. I don't do that. I just go and try to tell him, you know, Lord bless him. I try to do it in a way that they don't suspect me trying to influence them or trying to hurt them or they think I'm trying to hurt them. So anyway, Jack, what he did, he ran everybody out of that church. You know what they did? There was only four people left. And Jack left. Buddy Cargill's wife called me up, and she's crying on the phone. She said, Brother Allen, they're going to sell the church. I said, what? They know they can get $100,000+ out of it because it's right on the highway, so they're going to sell it, be an antique shop again. I got mad. I got fired up. So I called the guy that was in charge down there, and Brother Renee was here at the time. I called the guy in charge. I said, look, man. I said, look, if you're leaving, he said, I'm leaving. I'm the pastor. I'm leaving. There's only four other people left. I said, well, talk to those people. Tell them we'll come down. we'll take over the church, and we'll send a man, put a man in there. We'll visit. We'll help whatever we can to get, build that church back up. He goes, okay, I'll bring him before the church, four people. They voted on it. They said no. What it was, Jack Craylor was pulling the strings from back, you know, he moved and left, and he was pulling the strings somewhere else. And he said, why are you telling me this? Because this kind of goes along with it. And Jack, what he did, he told him, said, we're going to sell it. We're going to sell it. And the pastor that was there was listening to him and all the people. And there was another guy named Swanky, and he's a pastor in Texas. And when I've been to Texas now, 10 years ago, he came to me and said, Brother Al, I'm sorry. He's crying, asking me to forgive him. I said, Brother, you didn't hurt me. You hurt the Lord, and you hurt them people. And he's a pastor, and he ain't got nothing going on. And let me tell you something. His wife left him. And he's still trying to pastor something, and he's just like beating his head against the wall. You mess with God's word and mess with God's church, you'll pay some. Now, my heart goes out for the guy. I'm always crying with the guy, hugging him, praying with him, trying to help him. Even now, knowing what he did. So Jack Craylor pulling the strings, I told him, he called me back and said, Brother Allen, we can't do that because we're in debt. I said, how much debt do you have? He said, $40,000. I said, that's not no big debt. So I talked to Squiggy. I talked to another, who else was the deacon here? Another deacon. We had Squiggy and somebody else. I forget who it was. But I talked to the men, too. I said, I even told him on the phone, I took that liberty, and I said, we'll come down and sign for the debt, and we'll take over the church. He said, well, vote on it. Come back, call me up. Nope, can't do it. I said, brother, we'll do it. He goes, well, we want to pay it. We want a good testimony. We want to pay it off. Buddy Cargill's wife called me up and said, Alan, I got $40,000 I'll give you right now. Call him, tell him you'll pay it off right now. So I called him back. I said, I got $40,000. I'll pay the debt. He said, well, got to vote on it. Called me back. He said, no. They voted against it. What it was, they didn't want nobody else come and build a church. They didn't want nobody else to do something that they couldn't do. They didn't want nobody to do it because they didn't do it. They didn't want nobody else to do it. So then I sent Brother Renee down there on a Wednesday night, him and Carol. And Renee went in there and tried to talk to everybody. Said, look, we'll come down and we'll do it. And they said, no. They sold that building and was supposed to go to missions. You know where it went? It went to that preacher. That stinking dog. That's why when I heard about Frederica, it got me so fired up. I was so fired up I wanted to break somebody's neck. And he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. That's evil stuff. You know why? You know why I say it's evil? Because people prayed, people fasted, people gave their savings, they gave their money, they sacrificed to get a church, a local church in that area to have a gospel witness. And what did they do? All they wanted was the money. Guess what? They'll get their reward. They'll get it. And you mess with God's church, God will mess with you. He says, beloved, you said, well, that don't seem like it. Well, it ain't over yet. And we got the judgment seat of Christ, too. Amen. And the Bible says, look to yourself that you have a full reward. And people mess with other people's lives and try to hurt other Christians. And I realize sometimes people get hurt over something that you do, and it's nothing, no fault of yours. It's just that they just get offended or they get upset over it. And something that was no fault of yours. I had a lady leave the church one time because my electric got cut off. And the check was in the mail, and it got crossed, and our electric got cut off. And she said, well, I don't want to be around a pastor that didn't pay his bill. Come on, man. That's stupid. Beloved, follow not with that which is evil, but with that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. But he that doeth evil have not seen God. So people get in this habit of doing the wrong thing, always falling on the wrong side, always running their mouth, always doing something. Now, I'm not saying this tonight because anybody in here is doing it. I'm not saying that. So don't think I am. I'm just telling you this is what happened. I don't think anybody in this church is doing it. Thank God the Lord's been good to our church. And it seemed like we'd get along pretty good, amen. Seemed like it. Praise God. I haven't heard no backlash to anybody, you know, running nobody else down. But we try to get along good. And what happens is you got personality conflicts. You're going to have people that, you know, they're, and I've had, well, I have had people say this, well, that church has got a click. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Got a click. What's the click? If we get along, that clicks. You know, if a church can get along with each other and, you know, pray with each other and do good to each other, that's a blessing. And if anybody in this church comes to me and say, preacher, can you help me? I'll be there. I'll help you any way I can. That's the way I am. I want, why? I know he's watching. And if you got a bad temper, you have a hard time, say, God, help me with my temper. If you get mad over stupid little things, then ask God to help you with your temper. And help you with your mouth, that you don't say stupid things. And ask the Lord to help you. It says, Demetrius have a good report of all men. That's what I want to have written about me. Got a good report. I want a good report. But not only with all men, but with God. And it says, and of the truth itself. And he's got a good report, and he's got a good report of the truth itself. Being able to tell the truth. I'm not going to walk up to people. What I do is I try to do this. If I know something, I know you got a flaw in your life or you're doing something wrong, I'll pray for you first. I'll pray a while, and then I'll pray, and then sometimes if the Lord gives me an opportunity, I'll give it to you. I'll tell you. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, what do you think? What seems to be my problem? Then you open the door. If you say, preacher, what is my problem? Why is this? Then you give me an opportunity. You're just asking me to tell you. And I'm not going to go up to you and say, what do you think my problem is? And I ain't going to do that. But a lot of times it's easier to see somebody else's problem than your own. You can see anybody else's problem. You can say, well, man, and what an idiot. You know, what a jerk. And, you know, sit back. You can see other people's problem, but have you prayed for them? Do you pray for them? The reason why I'm saying that, I woke up this morning about 1:30 in the morning. I woke up right out of a dead sleep. And I said, what is it, Lord? And whenever the Lord wakes me up like that, I pray about everything. I said, Lord, if there's something I need to pray about, show me. I prayed about me being a better preacher, better pastor. I prayed about being a better father, better grandfather, better everything. And then I pray for everybody else too. And the Lord brings somebody in my mind, I start praying for them. I pray for their children. I pray for their babies, that they will grow up loving God. I pray that they wouldn't go to the point they become so hard. And we've had a lot of kids in this church got hard and turned their back on God. And you say, why is it? A lot of times it's because of home. Because of the home. And they get hard because the way mom and daddies are. And you say, Lord, I tell you what, I challenge you. I challenge you. And I'm going to pray the same thing. God, if there's something that you want me to change, something you want to show me through your word or wake me up in the middle of the night. Amen. Let me pray. And I challenge you. Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, is there something that you don't like in my life? Because that's why we have the Lord's Supper, is to examine ourselves. Amen. But a lot of times we don't examine ourselves to that point. But if God's showing you something in your own life, then say, Lord, I want to be a better Christian. I like what Jack Patterson got me saying it. Jack Patterson always say this, I'm not a Baptist, I'm a Christian. Because a lot of Baptists cut your throat. A Christian's not supposed to do that. A Christian's supposed to be a Christian. When you name the name of Christ and you do crooked things in the name of Christ and naming that I'm a Christian and doing it in his name, whoo, God have mercy. You don't want to do that. I'm telling you that. Jamie says, the good report of all men. And of the truth itself. Well, you know what? I got a blessing that up. Here I am, ex-convict, and been in prison and all that. And I called men up, and I needed $40,000 or whatever it was, $24,000. If I needed money, I call people up now. I can say, hey, I called this guy, Vernon, he owned Shoreline Construction. Josh works for Shoreline. And Vernon used to be in there with him. And we needed $24,000 for these air conditioners. And I called Mr. Faulkner up first. And Mr. Faulkner got saved while I was preaching at a funeral. And what blessed my heart is I called Mr. Faulkner up. I said, Mr. Faulkner, are you in any condition to loan the church $24,000? And he said, preacher, he said, my money's tied up right now. I can't. I've got it tied up in CDs. And I said, okay, no problem. So I got off the phone with him. I called up Vernon. And I said, Vernon, are you in any condition to loan the church $24,000? He said, yeah, preacher, come on, get it. I said, what? He said, come on, get it. I said, where you at? He said, I'm at Hardee's. I said, well, you got a checkbook? He said, no, I got it cash. I said, you got $24,000 in your possession? He said, yeah, preacher, I keep money in the truck. And I said, yeah, that's why I steal cars. I said, what do you keep it at? He said, in the socks, under the seat. He said, don't tell nobody. Now, I just did. But the reason I'm telling you now, because I know he's not in the CEO no more. He's not even around here anymore. He's in Florida. So I said, Vernon, I said, I want to do it right. I want to go through the bank and let you go to the bank, meet me at the bank. We'll go through the bank and I'll sign papers that we pay you back. He said, preacher, I trust you. I said, Vernon, I appreciate that. That's an honor that you trust me. But if anything happened to me, I want our church to know they owe you this money to pay you back. And then when I hung up with him, Bruce Faulkner calls me up and said, preacher, don't you get that money from nobody. I said, what? He said, don't you get that money from nobody. He said, I've got it. Come see me. And I said, Bruce, we'll take up an offering on Sunday morning, and whatever we don't have, we'll borrow from you. He said, okay. So we took up $12,000 that Sunday morning, and the reason I'm telling you all this is the reason about being trustworthy. And I said, we just need $12,000. He said, you sure? That's all we need? Brother, Miss Sheila knows, and Brother Mark knows. And he gave us a check for $12,000. We paid off these air conditioners. Every month, Sheila would give me a check to give him. I said, we're going to pay interest. She gave me a check for $1,064. I go to his house, and I slide $1,064 over across the table to him. And he'd say, thank you, preacher. That's a blessing. And he'd say, I got something for you. And he'd slide a check over to me. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just tithing. I pick up the check and I look at it, it'd be $1,500. I said, this is crazy. We're giving you $1,064. He said, and I'm giving you $1,500 back. Then he got under conviction about 6 months into it and said, preacher, come by the house. I said, why? He says, God showed me I shouldn't be charging church interest. So he gave me a whole check for all that back. I went, this is crazy. I'm saying the Lord wants us to be good men, honest men, honest people, Christians that tell the truth. Amen. Don't lie. Amen. Don't be against trying to stop somebody from in the truth. Stop somebody from trying to serve God. If somebody gets fired up and they start shooting off their mouth, young Christians just shoot off their mouth and say stuff to you, don't get upset. Don't get mad at them. Say, hey, man, thank God they're fired up. I ain't going to try to put that out. I ain't going to try to put their fire out. I ain't going to tell them to shut up. If them boys run around the church, I'm not going to stop them from running around the church. Hallelujah, man. Run it on. Look, he says, I'm about to stop. He says, Demetrius have good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not write it with ink and pen, write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. You got a problem with somebody, the best thing to do is try to get it right face to face, if you can. And maybe I'd pray on it before you even tried it. Some people, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know where they're at. And some people, you think they're strong Christians, and you think they've been saved for a long time, you think they're strong, and they're really not. And one little thing can kick somebody out of church. Just me and us guys were messing around on a Sunday morning. I was going through the thing about, you know, men in heaven and all that. And Derek was kidding around. Derek said, are we going to be like Jesus? Are we going to have beards and stuff like that? And we had a sister get upset, ran out of here. It hurt all of us. She ran, and she would not listen. We tried to, and then I seen her at her husband's funeral. I went and hugged her. I said, we're sorry. I said, well, she said, I know. I was just going through something. And y'all said that. And we was just joking around, Sunday school. And she said, I just got upset. You never know where people are at. So be careful. Be careful. But I trust I shall see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. Amen. I like that. I like that chapter. Amen. Let's take a prayer request tonight.